Welcome back to the podcast.
Welcome back to Get Ready With Me.
We are going to jump straight into our fair find because we have a guest this week, so we don't want to talk for too long. So, Kate, you can start. What is your fair find?
Max always makes me start because she never knows what she's going to do as her fair find.
I need time to think.
But my fair find is Skin Functional. It is a South African skin... I was about to say skinwear. Skincare brand that mainly does serums, but they've also got a couple toners and moisturizers. I first ordered their products, I think it was in lockdown last year, and they are super affordable. Well, I mean, like, most skincare is quite expensive, but for serums, they're the most affordable out there, and they're highly effective. I use the niacinamide exfoliating facial, which is like a chemical exfoliant, and then I've recently ordered their vitamin C. I actually picked up a reorder of their serums today, and they work super well. And yeah, like I said, I think they're the most affordable in South Africa. They're kind of similar to The Ordinary. Do you know that brand?
Yeah, I've heard of that brand. Kate also had a little bit of a horror story with her pickup. Do you want to tell the listeners?
Yes. Okay, so this is a bit of a tip. If you order off of their website, it's really expensive for delivery. It's like 130 rand, and considering like some of the serums are only like 230 bucks, that's just outrageous. So order off of Takealot, and I always order it to a pickup point because then it's free. And I open my box, and then like, so it comes in a Takealot box, and then the serums are in a box as well. And I open the Takealot box, and one of the serums was out of their box, and like the box was open, and it looks like someone like has opened the serum. So I don't know, I might send it back. I might not. I don't know. Is that like a health problem?
I think it may be. I think you need to keep us updated with what you do.
Yeah.
100%.
But what is your fave find, Max?
My fave find, which I've had for days now that I've been thinking about. No, my fave find is actually a series that I'm watching at the moment.
Ooh.
And it's the Formula One Drive to Survive Netflix series.
Oh, I haven't even like heard of that.
Really good. So it basically just follows Formula One drivers. All their like Grand Prix, all the way from like, some of them flashback like from 2017, 2018. I mean, I think Netflix documentaries really are unbelievable, like how they're made.
They are really good. However, some of them I do think you need to watch with a open mind. They are a little bit biased.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
But this is a obviously.
Yeah, there's no.
There's not really any. Yeah. But it's really interesting. So if you, I mean, I'm not even that into Formula One, but I definitely feel like I've got more into it whilst watching. So even if you're not a Formula One fan per se, I would highly recommend watching it. It's very good. That is everything for our fave finds. We're going to jump straight in to our guest.
Our first ever guest.
We are both sweating and so nervous. But as you said multiple times, this is our first guest. So cut us some slack because there's one thing to just talk and then there's another thing to interview.
Yeah, and also to interview when you have a habit of interrupting people.
Both Kay and I are going to have to really work on letting our guests speak.
Yes.
So hopefully you guys are actually able to hear him talk between us. And I hope that you guys enjoy this interview as much as we enjoyed filming and recording it.
Yeah. Little drum roll.
Our guest today is not only a fitness social media influencer,
but he is also an ex Love Island South Africa contestant.
So welcome to the Get Ready With Me podcast, James Fremantle. Hi, James.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here.
I'm so nervous. No, I'm sweating. James is our first ever guest. We're very excited, but a little bit nervous to be doing an interview.
Thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Oh, of course. Super honored. It's great to be here.
You've gone from probably like high radio shows and and big podcasts and then a little bit of a downgrade to come to us.
The best thing.
But we appreciate it.
Course, so thank you.
So to start off, I think the best way is for you to introduce yourself to the listeners for those who don't know you.
Perfect. So, yeah, my name's Jay Freemantle. I'm pretty much involved in all things digital marketing. So I started on social media as kind of like a fitness type personality. Then I started a social media marketing agency. And since then, yeah, I've kind of been in that world. And then more recently was on Love Island. Was the first contestant to get kicked off. I don't know how I should take that. But yeah, it was a good time. And yeah, in a nutshell, that's me.
Perfect. I think the main thing people want to know is what made you decide to apply for Love Island?
So to be honest, I was always a fan of the UK show. And yeah, I watched it a bit. And yeah, in the back of my mind, obviously it's like one of those things that you want to kind of do and tick off. I would be lying if I said I was only in there for love. Let's be real. Like, I mean, there's 100 other ways you can do it on the outside. Yeah, it was just cool to be part of the production, get the exposure, and yeah, just really kind of put, because it's a platform that you, it kind of gives you. So it was awesome to experience it all and go through it, especially in like a COVID time, having to do like the quarantines and work in that kind of COVID bubble was like super interesting to see. Because I also studied media communication, so it was quite cool to be in that world as well and just, yeah, see it on like the actual practical side as opposed to the theory.
Like back then, there were Instagram posts and like Facebook
posts
coming through like that you could apply.
Yeah.
Did someone send it to you or were you just like on social media one day and you saw it?
Yeah, no, so to be honest, I had no clue it was coming to South Africa. Yeah. And a friend of mine who's kind of in the media world sent a link to me and was like, dude, I think you should apply, you'll get it. And to be honest, at first I was like taking the piss. If I could find my introduction video, I had like a full-on moustache and like was like super cringy. I was like at the gym doing something, stopped, and I was like, oh, like, sorry, I didn't see you there. Explained that like the reason I had a moustache was like I had to stay single till February when the show started. I said like I tried Crocs, those didn't work, so this is like the next big bet. Like I was super cocky and just went in.
That probably worked.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I was like just taking the piss. I was like, who knows? And then, because like the one thing that people don't know is like, I think like 10 or 15 rounds that you go through until, for me, until you go through. Some people are like accepted on the spot, but for some of us, we kind of had to go through, us normal people had to go through a process. And yeah, so I mean, like there was interviews after interview, and like each round I was like, oh shit, this is becoming real. Like the ball's rolling, like I'm actually committing to this now. And then, yeah, we found out in January. And then, yeah, it was kind of from there, then it was like, final preparations, then we had like 3 days of like shooting. So the first day we had to do like our those introduction videos where you see us sitting on the stool and like all that stuff, which was that was probably like the hardest part. And then we did like all the photo stuff for the thing, and then we went into quarantine on the Thursday, and then that was like till the next week Friday, then it was the first episode. So yeah, a bit of a process, but
so you said you got accepted in January.
When did you apply?
In like November.
So oh, okay, so that's relatively quick.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Oh, I thought that was quite long.
2 months.
I suppose people stop working in December.
Yeah. So. It was a bit of a process. Like, so, I mean, like, I think, I don't know when the applications came out, but then I know I sent my video in November, mainly because of the moustache. Like, I was behind in November, like, 100%. So that's the only reason I know. And I think they closed in, like, early December. So then from there, it was just a matter of, like, but it was hectic. Like it was we had to go through like actual forms and things like that, and then there was like psychological analysis, we had to do health checks, like STD and STI checks. Like it was
intense. You're answering some of our questions already.
But yeah, no, very like hectic process, but because I mean at the end of the day, like because you're in such a small bubble, you, like, I guess you have to make sure everyone's like first of all like mentally in check, and then physically obviously
definitely.
There's no like drama around that.
Am I going to do the next one?
Yeah, you can speak for a little bit if you want.
So how did your family and friends react to you applying and getting on the show?
The family and friends aspect was like very split. So friends were like super stoked. They were like, because at first, like I obviously couldn't tell them as the process started going, and like you start hearing that you might be in, like you obviously can't talk about that. At first, like I told them that I applied, like they were all stoked for me because they've seen the like the UK and the US version. I think they were a bit surprised because I'm normally quite like conserved and like I conserve
more
myself
introvert.
A bit. Exactly. Like I hold back. And then my mom was like the complete opposite. She was terrified. She was like, before going to the show, she's like phoning me every day. She's like, because obviously I could kind of tell family, and then she was like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, you can still quit if you want. Like, it's like no one's gonna care, no one knows. But I think she's also been very patient, the same with social media, getting into that world because it's scary for that generation.
Yeah, they're not used to it.
Exactly, especially when like you are doing like photos with your like shirt off and there's dudes like commenting eggplant emojis and girls trying to slide into your DMs. Like, it's a very different world for your parents. So, I mean, they've always been understanding and, like, they're very patient. So, I sat down with her. I showed a few episodes because she kind of brings in with the idea. It was, like, X on the Beach, like, Big Brother vibes where everyone's just from day one, like, held to leather going for each other. So, I had to kind of show that, like, it's a little bit more wholesome, like, family-friendly.
It's a bit PC.
Exactly. So, like, she was more understanding once, like, that came around. And then coming off, like, they were all just, like, my mom especially was just, like, we were so proud of the way you were. And, like, because I did also sit before going in, like, set some boundaries and rules for myself.
We'll definitely get into those boundaries and rules.
Yes.
Sure.
Another question that a lot of people actually have asked, which we thought would be one to mention, was, did you pay to go on the show, or did you get paid to go on the show?
Yeah, so you get paid to be on. It's like I don't know the exact amount, I'm still waiting, but it's like a daily amount. It's not huge. Kind of just like a holiday job, for example. Just a little bit of cash to kind of keep you ticking over if you were paying rent or something.
Yes,
like
if you had a job. So they basically
exactly.
And then once you left, it obviously just cut. Yeah, or was it like a
per day?
I think so, from what I understand. I don't know. I could get a huge surprise and like
hopefully it's bigger than what you that's always nice.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, so we'll see. I mean, but yeah, so they kind of pay you like a flat rate per day. And I need to find out if that covers quarantine as well beforehand. But so it's just like a flat rate. But yeah, some people did think like you pay to go on, but
yeah, I wondered if you did. How long were you in quarantine for the whole?
So we had like the 3 days from Monday till Wednesday were all like shooting days. You're in the hotel, but you're not allowed to leave, but you're not technically in quarantine just yet. And then on the Thursday, I remember it was like 10 o'clock in the morning, the doctor comes in, or like one of those COVID testing guys.
Yes.
And he's got his kit, like whips it out, does a quick test. And then from that moment on, like, you sealed off. No one's allowed to come into your room. Like, we weren't allowed, room service wasn't allowed to come and do like sheets or anything. You had to like do it all yourself. And if you wanted like sheets changed, they had to bring them in a bag, leave them at your door. You had to then obviously do it and then do it yourself.
Yeah.
Same with meals. Like, they all got left in these special boxes that are like, obviously, what do you call it? It's like sanitized and cleaned and stuff. And then I was told the Friday morning. Then Friday morning, like, makeup artists came in at like 3 a.m. It was like that Friday, because that's like the episode, the day of the episode. So like people are like full on from that day.
Hustling.
Exactly. And that was when people, like, that's when it really started, and you have then like contact with more people. I remember that day, like, I literally was like in my room, and I'm like, how are people going to respond? Like, I've been in this room for like almost 2 weeks, and people are like, because you know, like, after you spend like a while in the room, you don't know like what it smells like, what it looks like. And also because you haven't seen people, like spoken to people like face to face. Obviously you can phone meds because you still have your phone with you at that point. And so you like see people for the first time, and you're like so excited. It's like another human being, and like, it's wild.
But that's intense. So, because like I live alone in Stellenbosch, and some days I'll go like until 5 o'clock and then finally see someone. It's the first person I've like said a word to, and that's difficult. Like, I can't imagine doing 2 weeks by yourself.
It's hard, especially when you hear your voice for the first time. You're like, wait,
what's going on? I mean, I do speak to myself, I think.
You kind of answered one of our questions, which was, did you wear makeup, or did they put makeup on you?
So for the first, like, when we did that shooting day, the first 3 days, then they do like makeup and stuff. I like try to ask for as minimal as possible.
How was that? Yeah. Had you had makeup on before?
Never. Like, I think the last time I had was in like, I think it was grade 6 or 7 for like a school play or something. So like it was very foreign. I'm also not like, I know some guys are quite like metrosexual, like some of the guys on the show like painted their nails and like they were quite like open to that, whereas like I'm just very like minimal in that sense. So yeah, it was weird. And then after like those few days, I like completely stopped. Some of the guys like did touch up on the show itself, but I think it was kind of up to like your own choice.
Kate and I have been having this conversation about how the girls maintain
like all their
beauty, all their stuff, you know, like for instance like nails and hair.
They took like hours on a day, like,
so they had people there to help you?
No, so it's on every Friday is a production break, like you don't film on a Friday.
Okay.
And then they get like people to come in and sort you out, like with guys getting haircuts and all
that
kind
of stuff. Every Friday then that makes so much more sense, because I was saying to Kate, I noticed girls like nails were changing, and I was thinking, shit, if I was on that show, like I'd have to learn how to do my nails. And I was like, these girls are really impressive, like they're doing their own acrylic nails. So that makes almost sense.
No, but remember, I sort of knew that because my hairdresser was one of the hairdressers for Love Island UK that was here. Okay. But I remember her saying, I think it's like something they implemented like a couple seasons in, because they realized that girls were coming in with like acrylic nails and they were growing out for like 3 months. And like, you have to get that stuff removed. You can't take it off yourself. So
No, that makes
at least they're
sense.
Looking after them.
At least. And what was your dating history like before going on the show?
I actually haven't really dated that many people. I, like, in high school, grade, like, obviously, preschool, you have, like, those little things, whatever. It's, like, you bust the first move, like, the arm over the shoulder. Like, it's, like, that kind of time. And then I actually dated someone from grade 9 till beginning of first year. So that was, like, very long, like, 4-year relationship. Very, like, very on and off. We were in, we did, like, the whole distance thing. We knew each other because I'm originally from Johannesburg and she was as well. So yeah, after that kind of long relationship, it was like little things here and there, like a few weeks, maybe like a holiday romance, like that kind of vibe. Yeah, so it was kind of hectic. So this was also like a step for me to kind of just put myself out there again and like do something, which I kind of needed just to kind of kick me in the ass a bit. But yeah, I mean, since then it hasn't really existed.
Did you make any friendship love connections on the show?
Off the bat, my boys were like a side and Cage. Like we had like a little bit of a bromance going on, which was quite cool. So yeah, from like a girl perspective in terms of like romantic connections, Rochelle is definitely like my strongest in the villa. I mean, obviously Millie and I were kind of coupled up and she kind of stepped forward with me first, and obviously I loved the confidence in that. But then I kind of realized we weren't quite seeing eye to eye, like we were kind of just on different levels, and you know, just into different things, different lifestyles. So I kind of pulled back, which they didn't actually show on the show, like I don't know. But I mean, at the end of the day, I do understand that it's a show that has to push like a specific storyline. So it was understandable. And obviously, but I didn't know that being inside, because obviously you're so sheltered, you don't get to see the episodes and you don't know what they're putting in or not. So yeah, I mean, we obviously, Rochelle had the strongest romantic connection and we were so kind of getting to know each other just before I left, which is a bit of a bummer. I mean, it's all part of the show. And
are you guys talking now?
We actually have. Obviously coming out, because it was actually funny, she hadn't seen the video that I put out when I exited yet, and she obviously filmed hers, because when you've come off the show, there's a few days where you don't go back to like the real world, because they have to still get your episode out and you've got to do exit interviews and things like that. And she hadn't seen mine yet. She did hers and pretty much said the exact same thing I said. So when she came out, she like phoned me. Actually, funny enough, the night she came out that episode, I got a phone call from like a random number and I was like, oh, who's this? And then it was her. So we had like a quick chat. And then, yeah, we've been chatting a little bit on and off. But we'll have to see. I mean, obviously the distance, she's up in Joburg. I'm here.
Oh, okay. So she's not in Cape Town.
Yeah. And my history of long distance relations, not the best. but we'll see. See how it goes. Taking it easy. But just keeping real with each other.
That's so weird though, to think that like you are potentially falling in love with people and you get out of the show and you don't even have their phone number.
That's crazy. I think also because you have chaperones that kind of look after you when you come out.
Yeah.
So I think some of them kind of like hook you up with each other. Like, they'll be like, I remember, I think one of the guys came out, I can't remember who it was. And then he was like, one of the chaperones gave a message from one of the girls, like, oh, man, she said this about you and stuff like that.
So, that's so cute, like little messenger.
Yeah, it's like back in prep school again, sliding notes.
On the episodes or in the show, it looks like everyone in the villa gets
along.
Is that the case?
I think so. I was obviously there when it was still very fresh and everyone's obviously kind of being friendly to each other.
Yeah.
I've obviously like been watching, kind of keeping up, and I can see that some guys have said different things about different guys and girls, and obviously girls said the same thing, where they've kind of said that like that's how it was at the beginning and it kind of changed over time, obviously. Because I mean, R1 million is a lot of money and that's kind of on the line. So I think people do change, and obviously it depends on what your motives are. But while I was there, everyone was kind of like getting on with each other. Obviously, there's like little cliques, and like everyone kind of drifts towards people who are similar. Everyone was friendly when I was there. So,
in terms of Millie, you said she stepped forward, obviously, for you. Yeah. Would you have got with her, or in this case, like hooked up with her? Outside
of the
villa. I think so obviously, I mean, like obviously I was attracted to her, so I wouldn't have gone with her. But I think there's definitely my like past type of girl, that like kind of party girl, that kind of whole look, which has definitely got me in trouble in the past. Like just, it hasn't really been the best choice for me. So I think
like a bad girl,
like someone
a heartbreaker.
I think I'm a bit of a sucker for the. Well, I've definitely been a sucker for the chase. Obviously that chase is a little bit more challenging, which I mean, keeps your interest for a little longer. Obviously not the best decision in terms of actually wanting to find someone to build a future with. And I mean, that's definitely where I'm more geared towards now.
Yeah.
With like a few businesses now, I want to kind of get more, not settled, but like have someone who's also like purpose driven, who's ambitious, who wants to get things in life. I don't think now I would go for it, but I think maybe me like 2 or 3 years ago I might have like
How did your experience differ from your expectations in the villa?
So I think the one thing obviously that you don't see is like sometimes you have to do things a few times So like the show itself isn't scripted, but obviously there's sometimes where you have to do a few different takes, or like,
yeah,
like they didn't quite catch what you said, so you've got to have the conversation again. So that was weird and different. Or like there'll be like a weird like production break where they basically say like gag order, which means that like you can't speak. And then you just sit there and you've got to wait for them to get things sorted. Then they'll say, okay, you guys can carry on now.
It's so like, stop. 1, 2, 3, look at me.
So that was weird. But obviously you don't see that. And there's no music when things are happening.
Oh, yeah, it's all in silence. In.
So there are like some moments where it's like, because obviously you've seen the show and you have expectation of what it's going to be like when you see it for yourself. So it was a bit different, like being behind the scenes and seeing how that all happens. I think like the one day we did a challenge in the sun. Which one was it? The suitcase one where the suitcases came. It was like the baggage challenge or something. And that was like 4 or 5 hours. But on the show, it's like a few minutes.
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes.
Yeah, which was crazy. So it's like things like that you don't normally see. So you see like the actual, not the dirty stuff behind it, but you see like what actually goes into it as opposed to like what you've seen on screen. So I think that was definitely different.
Did it take you a long time to relax the cameras, to like be unbothered by being filmed all the time? Because obviously you don't want to look at the cameras, but it's like an unusual thing to constantly be like followed.
Yeah. I think the second day is when you like, for me personally, like, because I think it's like a day in there feels like a week. Like it's long. It's like time moves slowly. You know, so you've got no, especially one thing with the phones as well, is you don't usually have your phone on you. It gets given to you at certain times when there's going to be a prompt or something. So you have no way of checking the time. You don't know like what time of day it is or anything. So you kind of just go about your day and just let it happen, which is quite nice actually, because you're very present. But at the same time, as I said, time moves very slowly. So I think like on the second day, I was kind of quite comfortable because you have like, there's a few people who have freestanding cameras and they like move around and like, they're in little bunkers and stuff, so you can kind of see them. And then they've got like the CCTV camera type things that are all hooked up and they're on remotes, which is actually quite funny because you'll be like, let's say we all like chilling, having a conversation, and someone says something interesting or whatever, you hear all the cameras go like, and they all point at you, and you're like, what did we say?
Are they automatic or is there like production team that's moving them?
I think the production team behind the scenes, like, we obviously never get to see that side.
It's like the
drones.
No, what's that show? That where he's
Truman.
The Truman.
I love that.
Exactly. So like it's quite funny. So you're literally be talking and then you're like zoofing, like, fuck, what did I say? Which is quite wild. But and then also like the crazy thing is also like when you're having a shower, like that's one thing I realized like after a few days, you'd be like in the shower and there's some cameras in the bathroom. And like this one day, like I left my towel out and like stepped out and I was like fully naked and I was like, oh wait, fuck, there's four cameras checking me. And they do tell us that they're not going to put any of that stuff in, which is
really but there's still like some production person that's editing.
Yeah, that's like, just judging you.
Yeah.
How was it when you came out? Like how long did you wait to watch your episodes?
Or have you even watched them?
Yeah, so I watched them, but I saw the fixed versions on catch up. Yeah, I mean like it's weird because you have all these conversations, all these moments, and obviously like they have to push the storylines, only like certain things get shown. So like there were a lot of conversations that like we all had that didn't make it. There was actually on the second night, Rochelle and I had like this full on chat. We had like a few drinks because you get, there's like a drinks limit thing, whatever, but you have a few drinks and we definitely had like Dutch confidence. So we went like started chatting, like things were like getting quite hectic.
You are allowed to drink on the show?
Yeah. So every day you have like a 3-drink limit. And
what is that drink? Like what kind of alcohol are we?
Is it like a mix?
No. So like beers, wine, cider, and gin and tonic.
So no vodka, no tequila.
No, unfortunately not. You can't say. But we like some nights we would do it. We're like, so you get your 3 drinks. So basically what happened is sometimes it gets spread out throughout the day. So like for example, if you go on a
day drink.
Kind of, but like it's very much like it's normally nighttime events.
Okay.
But if you go on like a date in the afternoon and there's like a prosecco or like a wine or beer or whatever, then you can have that, but it takes away from your 3-drink limit. So like you've got to be quite tactical. So we would do it if we all like wanted to have a bit of a festive night. We'd try and like save our drinks and then try and just like straight all 3 at once. So you just go like boom, 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 and then you have like a little bit of a kick off it, and then obviously you go to bed or whatever.
And are you allowed to smoke?
Yeah, so people who were smokers had to say beforehand, and then in order to smoke, you've got to, so basically there's one production staff who's always there. During the day, there's one guy, and then the night, there's someone else that does it. And you have to go find them and say, listen, can I go and smoke outside or whatever.
Is that like cigarettes or what about good old vapes?
Oh, no. No vaping. I don't know. In the villa, there was no new vapes.
I don't know
if they made it clear. In the, like, we had a huge contract we had to go through.
Okay, I just wondered.
But I don't know. I kind of skipped that bit, but in all honesty. The smoking was like, some people smoked outside, but there's like a little area and then they like smoke and whatever, then come back inside.
Oh. I remember the old UK one, they used to smoke. On, like, they would film them smoking.
Yeah, like season 1, season 2, like when it first started.
Yeah, and it was interesting because as the show progressed, there would be people who didn't use to smoking.
That happened like once or twice. There were a few people who, like, after a stressful day, would just like walk past someone and walk around, like, okay.
Do you think the show portrayed you, like, how you experienced it? Like, did they change your character a little bit, or?
I don't think they changed my character. Obviously, they didn't show a lot of me, to be honest. Obviously, watching them back now.
Mm.
And also, like, the whole thing with Millie, obviously, I mean, they have to push a narrative.
Yeah.
So they definitely, from what, I don't know, maybe it's just me watching it back, but it made me look like I was kind of, like, going after the whole time. They never really showed the stuff with Michelle.
Yeah, exactly.
Me just being the chaser, like, falling back into what I was 2 or 3 years ago. But, I was a little bit disappointed they didn't show like mine and Rochelle's kind of relationship and development over the series, but I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's only so many stories that can fit into a 45-minute episode. So I mean, it's understandable. Like, I don't hold any hard feelings or anything about it.
How long were you actually on? Like, how many days?
I was there for like a week, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but it probably felt like a month.
It felt like it felt like a few months. Like, there was, I think on like the 5th or 6th day, I woke up and I was like, you know, the feeling that something's always been that way.
Yeah,
like,
then you don't know anything else.
Exactly. It feels like you've literally been doing it like for like 20 years. And I was like, this is weird. Like, you almost can't remember your like reality before that, which is, and it was like that with the quarantine as well. So you had like the quarantine, the show, then the post show, and all those periods felt like it had been like an eternity, which was weird. So like getting back into real life is like, oh, like, it hasn't been that long, but it feels like it's been forever, which is weird. Like, it just, yeah, mind fucking
blows. Messages with you. Were there any moments that they aired that like, things that you were involved in that you were like, oh, this is cringe, or I wish I hadn't said that, or
there was one moment. I was in the morning one day when I was making breakfast, and who was I talking to? It was Cage. I was talking, he was saying something had happened. I don't even know if it was Cage. Something happened to someone, and it was like, we were basically trying to like motivate him and get him back on the horse, like kind of like the comeback story. So I like started singing to the Rocky theme song. And I was
like, you're like, sure, but I should not have sang on live television.
And they showed the whole thing like completely tone deaf. But I mean, like, it was funny. Like, I don't
regret. Yeah, everyone was probably laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you won't go back. You won't go into singing.
Oh, not at all.
Well, now I feel like that you're all relaxed and we're relaxed. I feel like we should just jump straight into the ready.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Hard-hitting questions.
The questions. Hayes Connaught won't answer you.
Start us off. So if you found, you obviously didn't, but if you found the right person, would you have had sex on TV?
So that was actually funny enough, like one of the rules I said to my mom, I was like,
Your mom was probably like, Jesus, don't do that to me.
Like, that was the one thing I knew, like going in, obviously like family's everything to me and I didn't want them to feel awkward or disrespect them in any way. And actually, to be honest, like I also wanted to test myself as well, because on the outside, there'll often be times like you meet someone, you sleep together and it's like loses that spark quite quickly. Cause it's like, I don't know, it's a sense of like, you almost like it came too easy or like, I don't know, you don't get to know the connection before like it happens. So it was also a test for me. I was like, let me see if I can get to know someone like actually properly without that kind of sexual element.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, then you can kind of explore it. But for like a little time, just kind of being conservative in a way. But
that's quite good. I'm impressed.
Yeah. And then like with regards to the show, obviously they expect like people are going to be having like sexual interactions. So do they make it compulsory to like take certain precautions, like wear condoms, or you said like you had STI and STD checks and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so beforehand everyone has to go through STI and STD testing, like all our blood work is taken, all that stuff.
I hope everyone passed.
I was gonna say, what would they do?
Sorry, you didn't make it, you need to leave.
You've got chlamydia, goodbye.
It's a no-go. But no, so in order to be on the show, you have to have passed the tests. Yeah, with all of them. And then with the condom situation, so I know production, apparently they had like a massive bowl somewhere you could go and get if you really wanted.
A fish bowl.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like one of those lucky draw things.
Yeah, what's it going to be today? Like Pleasure Max, Ultra Thin, whatever it's going to be. like when I was there, it wasn't a bit, because no one was really sleep, no one had slept together when I was there. But like as soon as I left, people started going, and then apparently after chatting to some of the guys, they said no, they brought out like a thing in the bathroom and put it there for everyone. Yeah.
Do people get away with like having sex or being intimate without it being caught on camera, or is every little time that you like kiss someone, is that caught on camera, or are they able to do things?
Is there like a corner that doesn't get filmed?
Yeah,
that people go
like sneaky little bathroom corner or something.
The thing is, like, all the bathrooms have cameras in, but and then they can also see you sneaking out to the bathroom if you're because like obviously the hallways are lit up, but like everything is like there's cameras everywhere. I don't know, I'm sure you could find like a blind spot, or like if you put like a duvet over you.
The track record of the duvet going isn't too good.
You gotta be subtle, just hit a spoon or something where it's like kind of like, but
no, they don't get away with it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much, in order to do it, you've gotta be really, really like,
be
careful and clever. Exactly, like ninja level stealth, or it's not happening.
When watching the show, you guys all share a bathroom, like girls and guys. Yeah. Is that, like, is there another bathroom where people can go to the bathroom?
If
like
they want some privacy.
Like, privacy, or is that the bathroom and everyone shares?
Yeah, so it's basically, like, it's a long corridor. And there's a toilet on the one side, and there's showers and two basins.
One toilet for all of you guys.
It's literally, and the scariest thing was it didn't have a lock. So, like, I still remember, like, one of the first days, I was, like, using the bathroom. I got, like, my foot against the door. Because, like, imagine you've literally just coupled with someone, and you're still in that, like, honeymoon phase, but you're still, like, trying to get to know each other, whatever. And, like, they just open the door, and they see you sitting there just, like, popping a squat, doing your thing.
I was convinced that there'd be another, like, set of bathrooms.
Yeah, for the girls, at least.
Like. Yeah, so there was, like, because the house itself had a few bathrooms, but, like, portion of the house is winged off for production.
Yes.
And there was one, actually funny enough, there was one toilet there that was kind of like a little bit off like production side, but it was like between this like weird gray space. And so I used to like, to be honest, because I like my privacy when I'm on the toilet. When I'm on my throne, I want to be alone for a little bit. So I literally used to ask production, I'd be like, no, like the other toilet's being used, please can I go and use the one over there? And like after a few days they caught on. I remember even like on the first time I used the bathroom, I had to like, I was so nervous of like, obviously because you've got a microphone on you the whole time. You just rip one or whatever. So I literally like held the thing down, foot on the door, like doing my thing. But
you can't even take it off when you go to the bathroom.
No, well, you can take it off, but it's there. Like it's got a dead cat on it, so it picks up all the sound around it.
Okay.
And obviously they're very sensitive because they need to know what's going on. So I just remember thinking, I'm so sorry to production. Like whoever's listening to me right now, like I just apologize in advance.
I'm shocked. I was convinced that
they would have separate toilets.
Yeah, I thought that they'd have like the bathroom that they film, and then like around the corner. They're kind of like a school where they just have like a row of toilets and like showers.
No, it was all in, and then the showers, two showers between us all. So I remember like it used to be a race because obviously the geezer's only so big. So like everyone's trying to get the shower in early to try and obviously because obviously you got cold water. But
I'm shocked.
Yeah. But I mean, it was quite funny. Like the guys all used to all like shower together. Like, it was very chilled.
Yeah.
I'm sure some couples now are like sharing the outfits.
Yeah. Out of the current couples, who do you think would last in like the outside one?
It's an interesting one. I think at the moment I back Timna and Bibor, but there is quite a big age difference as well. She's a lot older than him. I think it's like 6 or 7 years.
She's
I could be wrong,
don't
quote me on that, but it's older
Jay
than
said that she is 6 years older.
That's the title of it.
But no, so it's like it's very different life stages. The moment I back them the most. But then again, I don't know if Millie and Asad have like had a genuine strong connection. Yeah.
They've been the most solid couple throughout.
Timna and Ebor.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
It would make sense that they would last.
Exactly. Well, and seeing them, and also like that was the thing, was like at first Timna was very scared to trust anyone because her and Durang hadn't had the best start. And she was very like, she had walls up big time. And she definitely like, Ebor definitely had to work to get there. So I think that's also the, like they both put in a lot of work to kind of make it happen. So I think like that commitment from both ends as well as like they're willing to kind of go the yards.
Looking at the girls that have come into the villa now, do you think like if they'd been there whilst you were there, you would have had like a better opportunity to find a love match?
Danae and Taylor were both like quite pretty initially when I first saw them. I was like, okay, like kind of more my type.
Oh, careful.
That's the tea.
But I don't know from as long as I've seen them in, like, I don't know if I would have had a connection with them.
Well, I guess
but
you're just going based on like pretty much what they look like
exactly
right now.
Which is a superficial like surface level.
How shallow of you.
We have our flaws here. But but I mean, obviously, like the thing with Rashad, I definitely like had a connection with her, but yeah, we'll see at the moment. We're just taking things slow and seeing what happens.
Have more girls been interested in you since Love Island? When you came out, were your DMs just flooded?
I would say flooded, but there definitely were a few people that like were shooting their shots.
Previous like girls that you knew randoms?
Like a bit of both.
Had some of the previous girls coming back saying hi.
And what was your response though? Were you like, if you weren't interested in me?
Yeah, I kept some of the doors open, but we'll see where they go. But
you had more interest.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, even going arts, I mean, arts is still, he's the one night with my brother and his mates, because I was around home. They're like, listen, just pull through, like, see what it's like being out in town, whatever. And there's like a few people that like I knew before who like suddenly just wanted to chat, like full on. So like that's quite funny, but I don't have any like bad like feelings.
I would hate that, like I've got a boyfriend. But if I didn't and I went on a show like that and people like that didn't speak to you previously and then you came off and they were like, hi, wow, but look at you.
Yeah, but that's just human instinct.
Like, yeah, but I would get pissed off with it.
Oh, yeah.
I would, like, because I can imagine girls would be like that. Like, they probably, could have turned you down and then you come out and they're like, hi.
But I'm sure it's just like you've seen the same thing with social media. It's like with obviously blowing up on TikTok and things like that. At first, when you first start, people are like,
don't stop it.
Don't feed her ego.
So they hate to my slap show. You but, no, I mean, like, but you've seen it. It's like when you start something and at first, obviously, when like the numbers aren't there and you're doing your thing, people are like, oh, like, what are they doing? Like, and the people talk shit. Like,
I still have that. Kate talks shit about me all the time.
But like suddenly as soon as you pop, then it's like people want to know you. They want to like, or they want advice. They want to know like.
They want
to
be doing in a podcast with you. I know, you're just using me.
Step out for a second, let you guys settle this. But
okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like anything. As soon as there's like a few eyes and people like hear your name again, it could even just be that they'd forgotten about me from school and suddenly heard your name again. They were like, oh, wait.
What would you say is your type?
My type?
What is your type?
If any of the listeners want to,
if they want to get your attention, slide into your DMs. So
this is
your type?
Weird, this is like a really weird fetish. I don't know what it is, but like.
Ooh. A foot fetish, here we go.
I've got a foot phobia, actually. Like,
Don't look under the table.
With open shoes. Don't look.
No, it's like, it's a weird thing. It comes from like an ex relationship, but it's more like feet touching. So like in bed, if people like try and touch
you.
Did you
give
feet,
too many foot massages?
I used to have an ex that literally like, if I was sleeping, someone's like rolled over the other way, like big spoon me and then like hook her toes on the
Achilles tendon. That's a talent. That's impressive.
Like, no, but like really weird. Like it was not fun. I used to just lie there like.
When is this gonna be
over? When is this gonna end? Like when is like an acceptable time for me to get up?
That's so funny. Of all the issues that like an ex can give you.
The portfolio. But the one weird thing is like I really, really like someone like dark eyebrows and like features. So like I don't know, it's just I think, but it's for me because like eye contact for me is huge. So if like I'm drawn to someone's eyes and like I want to like look at you in the eye like the whole time, like for me that's very attractive. Yeah, I wouldn't say like physical, physically, like there's nothing that's really like a specific. Like I've dated like girls who are dark haired. I've dated girls who are like almost like platinum white hair. Like there's no like specific type.
You know, like into blondes or into brunettes.
That fetish isn't quite there.
Okay.
Obviously, like I like someone who looks after himself. From not like the point of being like. I mean, obviously, like, physical attraction is important, but it also shows that they've got huge self-respect in themselves, which I like.
Yeah.
I need someone who's, like, really respects themselves. But it's more like someone who's, like, passion-driven, has their own life. They're not just going to be there, like, living on your back your whole life, like, trying to be friends. Like, obviously, it's good to be friends with your friends and, obviously, like, that kind of thing. But, like, it shouldn't be so much where, like, your circles are literally on top of each other. Like, you should have some overlap.
Yeah.
It's like a good old maths. You have the Venn diagram with the square that you're kind of using up. I do have a degree, guys.
Wow. We just took this podcast to, like, the next level.
But, like, basically, like, it's actually my godmom explained to me. She's like, you always want to, like, if you think of the box as your space, and then you've got these two circles, you want to try and, like, be as big as possible in that box to use up as much space and experience life to the fullest. But you want, like, a still, obviously, you need the overlap to be, like,
yeah,
I'm butchering this completely, but you need to kind of like exhaust that space.
You need the union.
Exactly. So you need an overlap, but you can't be on top of each other. So in order to experience life to the fullest, you have to like be able to like stretch apart and use up the space, but still stay connected.
Oh my god, that's
so. Yeah. So I mean,
Pinterest quote.
Yo, whack it up on Tumblr, the good old
Tumblr.
Oh.
So eye contact.
So yeah, eye contact, confidence,
often. She needs eyebrows, she needs eyes,
no feet.
And no feet.
All of a sudden, all of the beauty salons are just flooded with girls getting their eyebrows microbladed on.
But no, for me, it's more like, it's the way you treat people as well. Like, someone who's kind, caring, like, is purpose-driven, ambitious. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Did any of the girls, or guys, hygiene on the show, like, surprise you?
No, I mean, like, everyone was pretty, like, everyone showered, everyone, I don't know.
No, it was just because you were talking about you need to look after yourself, and, like,
for who me, wasn't showering
is a big thing. No, I mean, like, everyone, like, looked after themselves. I think also, like, when you're on a show like that, and it's very, like, it's not beat around the bush, it's very, like, physical and superficial. It's, like, everyone who makes the show is generally quite into, like, the way they look and the way that they present themselves. I mean, like, the girls used to take, like, 2 hours to get ready every night. Like, us guys, literally, I used to have two. So, like, before, you know, the night time, everyone kind of gets dressed up and stuff. They would, like, be like, okay, you guys need to be ready at this time. So, like, the girls would get, like, a 2 hour warning, like, okay, you guys need to be ready by this time. The guys was, like, 30 minutes, 15 minutes max.
5 minutes to camera. Let's go, boys.
Exactly. I think, actually, out of all the cast members, Durang took, the, like, looked after himself the most. He used to, like, steam his face and have like a little mask on every now and then.
So cute.
Do the beard, like he was top. Yeah, okay, he's right down there. I can hook it up.
No, I have a boyfriend.
And which girl took the longest to get ready, would you say?
I don't know, because the thing is, like, their changing room was separate. Yeah. So we didn't, that was kind of a no-go zone for me. I was you guys
don't step in that area.
Exactly. Unless we needed coffee cups, like those somehow disappeared to the change room all the time. Yeah, I mean, in terms of girls, like, they all, because everyone comes out together and stuff. You know who's taking the longest? And it's not because she was, like, probably the most chilled out, one of the most chilled out girls there, but Sarah, she used to just, like, faff and take her time. And she knows that she used to take forever, always be the last one ready. But, not because she was, like, taking time to pamper up.
She was just enjoying getting ready.
Exactly.
And being fitness, like, focused, how did being in the villa impact that? In terms of what did you eat, were you able to like stick to a diet?
Yeah.
Were you able to tell them what you wanted to eat in advance, or was it just like free for cereal? So they were constantly eating cereal.
Yeah. No, so what happened was before going in, like if you had any diet, if you have any allergies, you make those clear. I didn't know this, but the one guy, Ian, got like high protein meals, like that was his thing.
Oh, that's clever.
So he was eating pretty well. But yeah, I mean the food was pretty, like it was generally quite healthy. It'd only be like, because all of it gets made for you. So like the egg, we get like eggs in the morning and then the afternoon and evening would be like rice and chicken, rice and beef, or noodles and beef and chicken, whatever. So it's kind of like your stock standard. But there was a lot to snack on, like there were Oreos and like fruit and
that's
like
game
there,
over
there was always stuff around. Like you could never, like if you were hungry, there's always food. So like the show weight gain was definitely a thing. Like I think I came back like 5 kilos heavier than I usually am. Which was
and you were only there for a week.
Exactly. So imagine I would have come like straight from Love Island to like my 600-pound life. That would have been the transition, like 100%. But
no, it was probably the quarantine though.
Yeah, so the quarantine was the toughest part, because you're literally in your room and I'm like, I eat out of boredom. So like I was sitting there watching series and like Uber Eats, like okay, Tasha's like bringing stuff, like I was bougie. I was like, Tasha's like, you're down the road, you're coming straight to my door.
Did you do gym in your hotel?
I tried to, like I was doing pull-ups on the bathroom door, like trying to be like as creative as possible. And I think I had skipping rope, so I did that, but like I think after like the third day, my calves, like I couldn't even walk, and it's not like I was walking a lot. But
but you did a lot of
bed to your bathroom,
bed to the fridge. But you did a lot of gym in the villa. You were able to like keep up. I mean,
yeah, fairly. So I mean, like they had dumbbells up to like 30 kilos. So for guys, like it was kind of like okay-ish. And they had like skipping ropes and stuff. But yeah, it was kind of okay. We all just pray. Like the one thing we all said is like, I wish during the COVID, like the quarantine period, or like at least on the show, they had like a spin bike or a treadmill or something.
Yeah.
Because one thing you miss is like just a good like sweat or like a good cardio session.
That's the one like really random thing that I thought about when watching the show. During the day, if I don't exercise, I'm a fitness guru. If I don't like do stuff during the day, I find it really hard to sleep at night.
I
kept on thinking when watching the show, like, not to be rude, but like, people are constantly just like sitting around on those lounges and like in the pool. Like, Did you struggle to go to sleep? Or maybe you were tired from the cameras. You probably were exhausted.
Yeah, like your day is so long as well. So like by the time you get to bed,
you were tired.
Most nights you go to bed like past 2 or 3 in the morning from production. Yeah. Like without knowing the time, but like you can kind of gauge.
And what time did you wake up when that little bing light comes on?
It's like 8 or 10 some mornings. Some mornings earlier. It all depends on what needs to happen in the day. Okay. So like if we have like, for example, when you do like the challenges and you got to go out and about and film there, that's normally like you'll have a really like early wake up. Like some days it was really early, but then if we had like a really hectic day, then let us sleep till like 10, 12 some days. Like the one day was quite a late sleep in. I don't think it was 12, I think it was like 10 or 11. Yeah, it was pretty chill. Like, I mean, you are quite tired. Like, that's one thing. You get off the show. Yeah. So I don't know how the guys are doing now, but I think that's also why they do that rest day on the Saturday where it's like more of a chilled out day. Yes. I didn't get to experience one, unfortunately, but...
You didn't have a chill day.
No, because I went from straight from the Friday. We didn't have a rest day that Saturday, but they got a rest the day after I left. So I was like... I went pizza and stuff. I was like, man, should have hung around for like one more day. So it was tough, but you also kind of also want to be there and just experience it. So like... You're not going to really worry too much, like, oh, am I eating healthy enough and am I training? Yeah. Like, you just kind of do what you need. It's like being on holiday. You like, doing any exercise is better than nothing. And like,
yeah.
I'll try and eat as clean as possible. But, like, if someone brings out Oreos, like, I'm not saying no. Like,
did they have rusks?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Absolute weakness.
Basically, tell us how you got into fitness, like, your fitness journey.
Sure. So I was, like, I used to be a really fat kid. And then I went, like, complete other extreme, was, like, a really, really skinny kid. Like literally looked like, yeah, it was actually crazy. But no, so like to be honest, like my like self appearance always been an issue for me since I was like, I think I was like 10. I used to like be terrified of taking my shirt off at the beach, like it was horrible. Then kind of got into my trick and obviously like the dack full back, like everyone would be ripped for age, like it's like a big thing.
Yeah.
And obviously like kind of pushed hard there. And then first year came around, playing a bit of rugby. When I was obviously, as I said, I dated the one girl from grade 9 till first year. And then we split, like I was heartbroken, whatever.
Revenge vibe.
A little bit, like the Khloe Kardashian vibe, yeah. I was going for it. But no, so then like, I kind of like, to be honest, it was quite a messy breakup and it got quite intense. There was just like a lot of like manipulation going on and I was kind of being walked all over. So it was my first step to kind of take control of my life. I was like, okay, I want to get in shape. I want to take my life back. And then I literally like committed the whole year to it. I was getting into it, watching guys on YouTube. Like it was probably, if you look at my search history, it was literally just dudes with their shirts off. Like people would have been asking questions. But anyway, got into that, started cooking, like reading a lot, learning more about it. And then by the end of that year, one of my friends, she suggested, she's like, oh, you should get into modeling, like, just check it out. And, like, I've always been, like, very camera shy, which is weird because now, like, I mean, I was on camera for, like, about a week, which is, so it's been, like, a big change. But anyway, so kind of got into modeling, did a bit of that. And at the same time, I was getting into photo and video work, just, like, kind of as a creative, like, escape. And then I thought, like, how can I tie the two together? And obviously, Instagram was a platform where I could bring both in. So started doing that, shooting kind of fitness videos. Obviously, I was watching some guys online and I was like, oh, I love what they do. Like, I would love to see that as well. So I kind of started doing that and the ball just kept rolling. And then, kind of grew into like the whole social media world. But
who did you watch? Who were your like go-to? Yeah,
so I used to have like the people who know me know this. I used to have the biggest man crush on a dude called Ady Gillespie. Okay. He's like, if you guys search him now, you'll see why. But he's honestly like one of the most ripped dudes ever. But like also like good balance. Also like still sporty, but like looks good.
Is that your man crush?
Yeah, big time. I'd say still my man crush. One of my friends actually met him recently in London.
Wow. Yeah, and you were a little bit upset about that.
A little bit. I was like, come on, like. But we'll be open about it. But so that kind of got me into it. And just like, I don't know, for me, it was also just a way to... like learn more about myself. It was like the first time I'd actually done any self-development work.
Yeah.
Which is weird. So,
What type of training, I don't know what this guy, what he does, but like what is your favorite type of training? Are you?
Now.
I actually got asked this morning as well. I don't know, I like getting a good sweat on, but also like, so I love sport and I love that like competitive edge of like either going against people or going against yourself the whole time. That feeling of like when you give absolutely everything and you're dead on the floor. Like I love like HIIT training and like very high intensive stuff. So like I've gone through phases though. I did like the whole bodybuilding thing, then did like more powerlifting and
did you do the bodybuilding thing?
A little bit, like a spray tan. No, I've never done a competition.
Just that type of training.
I can't put myself into a speedo on stage. Like there's a lot I'll do.
PB deadlift.
Dad knows the lingo.
Yeah, but how do you know that?
Well, my boyfriend's also very... He's studying to be a biokineticist, so he's...
I thought you were going to get on stage and...
She's ripping it up with the Stellenbosch CrossFit.
Who knows, guys? Big tanks. Watch the space.
But, so, no, I would say, like, probably, like, high intensity, but it's more just because, like, it just afterwards you feel dead. Like, it's one of those feelings, and you know you've given it everything, which is quite cool.
And how often do you train at the moment?
Yo, coming out of the like the island, I was training like once a week because I just like was so tired and just had no motivation. But on a good week, I'll probably train like five, six times.
How long is your training?
Like an hour to hour and a half max. Like I'll never go over an hour and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, some days like 30 minutes. It all depends like what I'm doing in the day.
I guess if you're doing a HIIT workout, it can be like
exactly
quick.
Just get in there, get it done, get out. Like. Also depends, like I also feel like
I'm gonna use that. Prop that.
But no, I also feel like it's like with anything, it's like better to do something than nothing. So like on the day if you don't feel like working out, like just go for a walk or do something. Like there's always ways you can still do things. Like
yes.
In the day you just gotta keep moving.
So you kind of said in like first year, is that when you started posting fitness related content?
No, so it was a New Year's resolution at the end of first year. Oh. So it was literally like, on the, I remember because it was the 31st of December 2016, first post went up. I think the first caption was literally 26/12/2016.
That's quite sweet.
And I was trying to be like a minimal edgy and shit. And
were you scared posting your first like fitness?
I was terrified. Yeah. I didn't tell anyone for like, probably till like I had like 5,000-6,000 followers. Like, no one really knew about it. I kind of kept it very low-key.
Yeah. Oh, so you didn't... It wasn't, like, your main account that you changed into
No. I started, like, a separate one. Yeah.
Oh.
So it was, like, my, like...
That's
what
kind
you
of like
it
you,
though.
Yeah.
I didn't tell anyone either.
I actually didn't even tell Kate. I remember...
You're a little bitch.
Because I was embarrassed. I was trying to keep it, like, on the down low.
I was the first one to find
you
it,
you were the first person. Like,
her
no
brother,
one knew.
Your brother gave it away. He commented. He was like, has TikTok verified you?
Yeah,
and
so
I was like...
I posted it on Instagram. And I remember I was at my boyfriend's house and I get this message from Kate. And she's like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, shit.
No, I said it in a nice way.
No, you
way.
Did say it in a nice way. But I remember being so upset. I was like, she knows.
I kept your secret, though. I didn't tell anyone.
Yeah, you didn't tell anyone.
So that's true friendship.
Yeah, I think. There you go, Max.
And now you're on like almost 100k followers. So it's
that's wild.
Pretty
intense. Yeah, I mean, I was lucky. So I studied marketing. So I know how it all works. I know how to kind of approach something and grow a brand and whatever. But my biggest thing was literally, it was just right time, right place. It was when Instagram released those carousels and you could save posts. So I saw what other guys were doing and basically like, put my own spin on it, but used to do like workouts. So I used to get free workouts and then film each exercise. And those literally, I think it was like 4 months, I grew like 70k.
Jeez.
It was like really, really quick. Yeah, it was very quick, very fast. Started getting deals with like Gymshark and like big brands wanted to work, which is cool. But it becomes a lot like, I'm sure you've like a similar with you with social media. It's like your life is like, people are like, oh, it's such a cool job. And it is like, especially if you're passionate about it, it's awesome, but it never stops. It's not a 9 to 5
definitely.
Where you can check out at 5 and you go like, you have your life. It's like, it is your life, which can become a lot. And I remember like there was a stage where I was literally like each day I was like, I'd wake up, train, and I was like, okay, what content's going out today? And that was like, all that mattered. It was like 6 o'clock, that post had to be up. Like I was so...
So was that your prime
time?
I'm
extreme. I'm like, I'm super, like, I'm like, if I'm going to do something, I'll do it like to the T. Which is like, it's good in some ways, but it can also be a bit intense.
Yeah, I definitely think my little experience like in the social media world, I think it's one of those career paths where like it looks all like glitz and glam.
Oh,
it looks
yeah.
so fun and like you're your own boss and you can come up with your own times and you don't have to work from 9 to 5. But it's so different when you're like involved in it. It's
no,
I don't
it
think
so.
It's what people think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's just because like some people can like post a 30-second video and earn like so much off of it.
That's
I think
thing,
that's
yeah.
what people think it's like a little bit of a joke.
Yeah, I think the outcome of your videos, I think people think look at that and they think like, oh, that must be so easy. Like, just post a video quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, that's not really how it works.
Especially in South Africa as well, it's hard to get deals.
So you said that you have, do you still have your deals with Gymshark? And
no, so I worked with them. We did like a 3-month activation. And actually the biggest thing was they didn't know about the whole 48% import tax. So, because they were literally like, they were like, asked me, like, I don't know why sales have never been that great in South Africa. And I was like, yo, because we pay 48% extra when anything comes in. So a lot of the time people only buy if they go over or they know a friend going over, they can bring it in for them and kind of sneak it through the border. But tonight I work with them a bit. I had like a few one-off deals with some other companies overseas, mainly overseas brands. Because in South Africa, it's a little bit tougher. The market's still like very new to it. Most people just want like free, like they'll give you something for free for like a thing. But like there's only so many gym shirts you need or, like, you know what I mean? But I'm also like, my approach to the door is like, I'd rather, I've always been true to like myself and my own brand. And like, I'll only work with brands that I would have personally like used or bought myself. That's the thing, like the whole social media world is like, it's literally like, if you've got strong ethics, it's tough, but at the same time it shows, like people then respect you because of it. It's like you see some, like some of the offers I've gotten like a little bit more on the edgy side, to like fly out to certain places or send certain photos to people, and it's like people want to pay like $40,000 for like a quick little but it's weird. Like, I mean, if you wanted to, you can make huge money.
Definitely. I think that's also one of the hard things about like the social media world is like being having the responsibility and just like the courage, I guess, to turn down those things, because you can look at it and get so money hungry and you're like, wow, I could get that and do this, and meanwhile you could lose. And as we know, cancel culture is a big huge thing. And you can post something and people can just come at you and that's you done.
I feel like also the most successful social media influencers are the ones that are like very true to themselves, and they're not just like taking the same brand deals that everyone else is taking and stuff.
Do you see yourself doing social media full time? Is that your aim of the game right now?
No, at one stage it used to be. It definitely was. And
why has that changed?
So it is a cool world to be in. Like I said, it is the one thing I do like is my privacy. Like, funny enough. So I've always been quite careful as to what I share. I mean, you wouldn't think of having going on the show where you have cameras on you all the time. But I'm always quite careful as to what I put out into the world and what people know about me. So, yeah, I mean, like, I'll only ever share content if, like, let's say it's a personal thing that's happened and I know it could help someone else. Then I'll put it out. So, like I when I was actually, like, a year or two ago, I struggled with, like, binge eating disorder. So, like, I shared that with people and I was like, listen, like, I've dealt with it. And, like, obviously, it's not like it puts you in a really bad, like, mental space. And obviously, physically, it shows. And it's like a very dark place to be. But so like in that instance, like I share it, but like I do enjoy my privacy and I like being able to also switch off and be with family, be with friends. And social media is like all the time, you've got to be thinking, how am I going to stay relevant? What can I do to like get more followers, get more eyes on me? And at the end of the day, like I think it's one of those things, it's awesome, especially if you want to then monetize it yourself. Like that's where it's good.
Because
you can't rely on brand deals your whole life. It's like you get like, let's say like 100K in 1 month and then you get nothing for like the next month. And it's very hard to live a lifestyle of that. But I don't know. I prefer to kind of work in the dark a little bit. It's like kind of be behind the scenes and do my thing.
Do you have anything that you're currently working on?
Yeah, so I own a digital marketing agency. So that's kind of been in the works. I worked at a company actually Max modeled with called Elevar, which is cool. So I've taken a step back from a leadership position there just to focus on other things. But at the moment, just taking things short, like I'm doing podcasts like this, like just trying to have as much fun as I can for a bit.
So now we are hopping into our TikTok times, but it's Love Island related. So have you seen a video that has been going around of your previous match on Love Island? enjoying an unusual treat.
Have you seen the video?
To be honest, I literally, that episode went live. As soon as it happened, my DMs just popped. I literally just had people sending it to me, tagging me on all the meme pages. It was a bit hectic.
What did you think of it?
it's not the best thing to see.
Here's our question. If you had seen that prior,
definitely.
Do you think it would have been a red flag?
Huge. Huge. It's like, go back to the whole hygiene thing. Yeah. Like you want someone who's like,
But that's what the fuck, marry, kill is going to be. Yeah. Okay, so Millie... When you first impression, Millie, when you got to know her,
you have to do the context, like first impression is not when it happened.
Millie, when you got to know her, and then Millie after seeing the EOX.
So wait, what are the three? Repeat them.
Millie first impression. So like when they were lined up.
Okay.
First saw her
before she even stepped forward.
Yeah.
So just looks.
Millie, once you got to know her personality. And then Millie after she ate her earwax.
So basically the same person all around. And it's the fuck, marry, kill.
We don't have to put this in if you don't want to.
No, I'm just trying to think how it would go because like... it's hard to marry any of them, to be 100% honest. If I'm being dead honest, like, it's just a very, she's a very different person to what I am. Like, very different.
And that's okay. That's not well, throwing maybe, shade.
No, 100%. It's just, I'm like, I know what my type is and, like, my lifestyle. It's just very off. Obviously, the kill would definitely go towards the booger situation because, like, although it's funny,
it wasn't
enough,
even boogers. What, it was.
Yeah, 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 it happened on stage. That's also the thing. It wasn't just once, it happened three times. Like, really? I got seen.
Oh, three
we've
only
videos.
Seen the earwax.
We've only
one.
Seen the earwax.
Oh, no, there was first the booger one, then there was earwax, and then there was another booger one.
Are you sure they were feeding what? You as well as you said? Are you under contract? Like, all these snacks you talked about fake.
Those are the snacks he was talking about.
The Oreos.
We now know.
But no, so that was quite funny. But like I said, like my literally, like whenever something like that happened or like memes were coming out, people were just sending them to me. I'm like, what do I do? Like,
shame.
It's
that was priceless.
She'll never live it down.
No, it's been tough. It's been tough. Picking.
I personally think it was just one of those typical things.
Does it? Yeah.
She just genuinely like forgot that she. I really do.
It's not a good thing to happen.
So you, actually, it's probably a good thing you got out before you forgot that the cameras are there. Next minute, you were just like,
that's been kissing her after she's just had a little snack.
Exactly. That's been like all the beauty brands that have contacted her on the show just keep us unsaying on
like,
Instagram.
Delete. She's going to those message delete.
Jay, thank you so much for coming on. We're honored to have you as our first guest.
No, well, thank you to you guys as well. I mean, obviously, it's always a pleasure, always an honor to be here. And yeah, being the first guest, I mean, that's a huge title I'm going to definitely hold dear to me. Might get in on a plaque or something at home.
We will remember you when we have a huge contract.
100%. No, don't forget me. Don't forget me.
When we get signed by Barstool, we'll think of you. But thank you so much for coming on and being interrogated by us.
No, honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure, guys.
They probably weren't the questions that you were getting on your other interviews. So
yeah, definitely a little racier, but I needed that, you know. It's been a little bit too
you need to keep it interesting.
Exactly.
But do all the usual things.
Oh yeah, and you need to tell the listeners where they can find you.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay, then, yeah, so Instagram is probably the best place to find me. It's at livingwithjay _ at the end. And if you guys want to follow along there, go for it. Otherwise, I'm not really on anything else. Maybe I need to get on TikTok.
Do you have a YouTube?
I tried vlogging way back and then I just realized it's not for me. Because like, the thing is, your tasks, like your daily tasks take like double the time. Like you get home and you're like, okay, wait, I've got to set the camera up, reverse again, drive in. Okay, I'm going to get the car angle in the car. Like, also I'm quite pedantic, so I'm like, I need it to look a certain way.
Okay, so no YouTube, you have TikTok?
Unless you want to watch really embarrassing cringe videos of me trying to vlog, then you can
go back. Those.
No TikTok. Although Maddie Alexander is putting big pressure on me at the moment to do it. And yeah, so just go ahead to head to Instagram. That's like my central place.
Yeah.
If you need to find me for anything, it's there.
And follow us.
Don't forget about us.
Yeah. Do all the things. What is it? Rate, comment,
subscribe.
And
stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned for next episode.
Next week.
We've got an exciting guest again next episode.
Not as exciting as Jay, though. God. Jay was our favorite.
Too soon.
I mean, our first, but our favorite.
Yeah.
Our only, but our favorite, our top. But thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, I always forget it. And if I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Where's it from again? Is it,
that's from the Truman Show.
Oh, it's Truman Show. That's right.